Welcome to the GP Chamber Chats with the Growth Point Chamber of Commerce. On today's episode, we had the privilege of speaking with Alan Lowenthal, founder and managing partner of the Law Office of Alan Lowenthal here in Growth Point Farms. Alan has spent more than 36 years representing numerous startup ventures, mid-sized companies, large companies, and individuals on hundreds of legal and regulatory matters. Today, we talked about what it looks like to start up a new business and his best advice around this important topic. Let's dive in and learn more. All right. Well, welcome, Alan. It's nice to meet you. Welcome to the GP Chamber Chats. Very excited to dive into this topic today. So let's start with, you know, just tell us about you, what you do, your business, all the in between.
Oh, boy. Okay. let's start. I grew up most of my childhood in Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia, and from the very early age, unlike I think most people, I really knew, starting maybe in grade school, that I wanted to be a lawyer.
Wow.
I love reading the newspaper and just got very interested in a lot of different things, all of which sort of pointed to being a lawyer. I don't think that happens with most people.
No.
Something good and bad about me. But anyways, so I went to college and again, knowing that I wanted ultimately to go to law school, and I ended up going to law school in Atlanta at Emory, and I didn't hate it. I had a lot of classmates who really didn't like it. But I actually found it very interesting. I had great profs and had a great experience. Stayed in Atlanta working with some very good law firms, a large law firm. One day I got tapped on the shoulder and by a headhunter, and lo and behold, I ultimately became the general counsel of Saab Automobiles. And that turned into just, I loved it. I love being in-house. I basically handled 90% of all the legal work that came in. There were a few exceptions that I didn't, but every day I never knew what to expect, and just handled everything associated with a corporate law practice. Mm-hmm. And loved it. And it was a relatively small company. It was about 170 employees, 160 employees. But again, it gave me a tremendous variety of corporate legal matters to work on. GM actually owned half of Saab, and they exercised an option and purchased the other half of Saab in 2004. And I was invited to come up to Detroit and remain the general counsel of Saab, but also to start handling some other GM legal work. And I accepted the offer, and that's what brought me nearly 17 years ago up to Detroit from Atlanta.
Wow.
And I loved it. I learned a lot. I did some things, again, on the corporate side that I hadn't done in private practice and in-house before. Met and worked with some fabulous lawyers at GM. And then, as I think every in-house lawyer thinks, I decided that in 2012, just itching to start my own firm. Mm-hmm. And I did. And it's been a fantastic experience. I love my corporate clients. 90% of my practice is corporate law. I have an estate planning practice also. And I have a master's in tax law that I got after my law degree at Emory. I got the master's in tax law at Emory. So I also do tax law work and estate planning work. But again, since 2012, have been out on my own here at my office on the Hill in Grosse Pointe. And it's been great. I've had one regret. Maybe I should have done this a few years before I did, but that's the, That's my background in a nutshell.
That's great. Well, and I like the topic we're talking about today, with starting up a new business, right? I think that especially in this past year. People are very taking a much harder look at what they do day to day, whether they want to continue in the jobs that they're at or whether they want to also make that leap, right, and starting their own business. So let's dive into a little bit of that. What are some of the biggest mistakes you see right off the bat that people that are just not aware and they're making when they are thinking about starting a new business?
Great question. And unfortunately, I have seen this, and they come to me sometimes after the fact, and I'm cleaning up some of the problems that have happened. Mm-hmm. Probably at the outset, one of the biggest mistakes I see is they're going to invest in their startup company. And it's typically going to be thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. But they also have someone that they think they've never worked with before. And they think this is going to be their business partner. But that person doesn't have any equity to contribute to the business. And what I see a lot of times happening, numerous times happening, is the people who are investing in the company, the one or two people investing in the company initially, give equity in the company to other people prematurely.
Okay.
And there's ways to do that, legal ways to do that. If someone doesn't have money to invest in the company, there are other ways that you can tie their future performance to give them equity, for instance, in the near future. But I always recommend before you bring in someone else and give them equity, and these are going to be people that are going to be involved in the operation of your new business with you, is that you get to know them. Mm-hmm. I really think this is one of the most important social relationships that you're going to have. And before you grant equity to someone, you get to know them. You get to know their work ethic. You get to know if they're really compatible with you from a professional standpoint. I can't emphasize that enough. The problems that can erupt 6 months in, and the problems become obvious very quickly.
Yeah.
But the divorce, if you will, like other divorces, is going to be very expensive and distracting to your new business. Know who your equity partners are going to be. That's probably the biggest mistake I see. And it happens, unfortunately, more frequently than I wish. But again, that's an important thing, an important mistake to avoid.
I think I'm glad you shared that, because I think when starting a new business, we go and we're very excited, we're very eager, and it's very easy to ignore some red flags sometimes that we see, right? It's just like falling in love sometimes, right? You know,
the analogy is perfect, Rochelle. The analogy is absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Get to know your partners.
Right, exactly.
Before they're your partners.
Yeah, it's very important.
Right.
So if someone now, you know, I know that maybe the initial steps of starting a business, and we'll get into that, haven't drastically changed, but in 2021, coming out of a pandemic, coming out of a lot of different things that have changed tax-wise, things that have changed just in our economy and society a little bit, what do you think is some of the most important things people need to consider when starting a business now, this year?
The challenges are there. I think we're at a point and at a moment where I think the opportunities are greater than the challenges. Mm-hmm. And you may not hear that a lot, but I firmly believe that. I think we have a re-emerging marketplace in a variety of products and services that people are going to want and need and will purchase. I'm a firm believer that everybody out there, especially in this country, if they're working for someone else, they wake up sometimes at 3 a.m. and they think about working for themselves. Mm-hmm. and creating a product or creating a service. They perceive a market need that's out there, and they dream. about starting their own business. I think it's every adult. And actually, I know some teenagers who do the same thing. I think it's a wonderful thing. I think it's an incredible opportunity right now. What those people need to think about, and it really is the first step in creating your company and your business, is to go through the effort of really creating a business plan. Mm-hmm. And it makes you, that exercise makes you ask and answer the most important questions that are out there. Everything from the obvious, what product, what service are you gonna sell? Where's your market? What research have you done to confirm that there really might be a marketplace for your product or service? How's the business gonna be financed, short term, long term? How is the work going to get done? Who are you going to hire? Are they going to be employees? Are they going to be independent contractors? I have strong recommendations on what to do initially on that question. And we can get into that later. But that business plan is a very, very important exercise that I recommend everybody who's thinking about starting their own business, seriously thinking about starting their own business, that they go through that exercise. There are fantastic resources for free online on how to structure a business plan, what all of the questions really are that you should be answering. And it's not to say that the day after you prepare it, you're not going to tweak it. You're always going to tweak it. But I'm a firm believer that the business plan really is a very, very important exercise and probably one of the first exercises you should do.
Yeah. It also provides a bit of a reality check sometimes, a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You'll have to answer some very personal questions. Your time commitments. Are those time commitments realistic with your family needs or other relationship needs that you have? Take a lot of time in the beginning of any venture that you're serious about starting. And I always tell people, double the amount of hours you think it's going to take the first year. And that's probably a good estimate. And the irony is, the more successful you are, the time commitments are going to expand, not contract. And it's just important. It's important to ask all of those questions and answer all of those questions on the front end.
Right. So you kind of answered a little bit one of my questions of, you know, when we're getting started with a business, what's one thing we know we should tackle and putting that business plan together. And I want to dive in a little more around the formal process of starting a business. But before that, I do want to ask, because I was thinking about this as you were talking. It was what you brought up when the first question is, so many times you have people coming to you to clean up a mess, right? I think an important question I'd love for you to answer is, and we hear this, right? Oh, you need to get a lawyer. You need to get a lawyer ahead of time, but sooner rather than later. Why, you know, what is something you can share with people of why that is so important to not wait, right, until there's a problem first? I know we all maybe think we understand that, but I'd love to hear your perspective on that.
Right. I think it's very important to have an initial talk, discussion, I believe, with an experienced business lawyer. He or she is going to point out a half a dozen cliffs to stay away from initially. I talked about one before, prematurely giving out equity. A good business lawyer is going to tell you and provide you options on giving you time. Maybe after working for 6 months or a year in satisfactorily in a certain role, that then the person is eligible for a grant of stock. There are options or other things that can be structured, some very simply, to prevent, again, the premature granting of equity. Other things. One of the key problems that I see happening is new entrepreneurs, people who create a startup, they don't get a business bank account immediately. And they're mixing, they're commingling their personal money with their business money. That creates many, many problems mm-hmm. off the bat, not only from an accounting and tax standpoint, but even from a liability standpoint. If you haven't set up your corporation legally and you haven't gone through just a couple of formalities, create a business account, keep your business assets and your business funds separate from your personal funds, very, very bad things can happen. Someone slips and falls at your office or your house and they've come there on business, they can come against you and assert claims against you personally. Mm-hmm. You never want that. You want to avoid that at all costs. Again, very simple things that, again, an experienced business lawyer can communicate in a half an hour, 45 minutes. And I argue that's probably one of the best initial investments you can make. Additionally, that entrepreneur-to-be should hire, and not hire, but just talk to initially an experienced accountant. Mm-hmm. And they're going to help you make the decision on simple things like whether it should be an LLC, a limited liability company, or a corporation. Typically, it's usually going to be a limited liability company for a variety of legal reasons, but not always. Are you going to be a subchapter S LLC or corporation? There are benefits, tax benefits associated with that. Again, we're not talking about significant fees that you have to pay an accountant for. Most accountants that I refer clients to, they don't even charge for this discussion. Mm-hmm. They know that you're going to retain them going forward to do their books and things like that going forward. They don't even charge for that meeting. It's invaluable. And the only other thing that I would recommend and where I see mistakes being made is, depending upon your product or service, you need to consider insurance. Is your business, is your service such, or the clients that you're serving such that you need business insurance? Depending upon the facts and circumstances, you might. And if you do, the good news is the annual premiums are usually quite reasonable. But those are, at the outset, I think, the big three. Yeah. You want to have that initial discussion with the lawyer, the experienced business lawyer, the accountant, and probably a commercial insurance broker. We have several very good ones in the Gross Points of each of those two other fields that you can hook up with and talk to. Again, for little or no money that you have to expend on the front end, strongly recommended.
Yeah. And, you know, you've laid out some great, the building blocks here, right? We're starting with this business plan. We're getting the representation and help that we need to avoid the headaches down the line. And, you know, really what those big costs are costing you right now is time. But if you're going to be an entrepreneur, it takes time, right?
Put your clock away.
Right.
Hide your clock if you plan on being an entrepreneur. Absolutely. And I don't want to scare people by saying that, but it's anything worth doing is worth doing well. And it's going to take time. And you're going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. There are going to be mistakes made, but as I like to say, and something I said to myself when I decided to start my own firm was, you know, all things said and done, I'd rather make my own mistakes for my business than to make other people's mistakes that I knew didn't make a lot of sense, but because I wasn't the president, they were making the decision. I just as soon make my own mistakes. But anyways, that's for another video.
Right. Well, and it's come through in this talk, you know, from your journey and everything that you're sharing with us. But, you know, why are you so passionate about helping entrepreneurs launch businesses?
I think it's great. that we live in a society where we've all read the success stories that make the news and make the magazines and online. We read about the success stories, but we're very fortunate to live not only in a country, but also in a community that I think allows business to flourish. And it means opportunity, no matter who you are, no matter what your gender, your race is, you can make it. You're gonna hit some roadblocks, you're gonna hit some challenges, but it defines independence. It defines, frankly, doing what you want to do. I'm very passionate. I love helping people start their path. And I almost feel like just such a sense of pride when through their business sense and their mm-hmm. business acumen, they become successful and grow. And nothing is more fulfilling to me than to have been the guy who filed their articles of incorporation at the front end 5 or 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then I'm handling their buyout for $2 or $3 or $5 million 5 or 10 years later. There's such a sense of pride that I look at that. That's one of my companies. Yeah. Even though I don't have a penny of equity, I've helped them along the way. And it's a great feeling.
Mm-hmm. So you've been a part of this Grosse Pointe community for a little while, right? And right. people here on the Hill. What do you love most about being a small business owner here in the community?
I really enjoy it. I obviously have clients not only in Grosse Pointe, but actually throughout not only Michigan, but nationally. In addition to being a member of the Michigan Bar, I'm a member of the Georgia Bar. I have clients also in Georgia. And but it's a great community to be a big fish in a relatively little pond here in the Points. And it's not so little. There are a wide variety of businesses. We have the startups that are starting out in the bedrooms of many of our residents. We have small to medium sized businesses and entities here in the Points. And we have some actually rather large corporations that do business in the Points. And as a director of the chamber, I'm all about helping those businesses, whether they're the startup in the bedroom or the large corporation, filling my prescription on the Hill. I want them all to succeed. And I love working here, and I love helping anyone, any company, any business that I can that's here.
That's great. Well, Alan, we appreciate your insight and everything you taught us today. How can people learn more about you and your services?
Feel free to call anytime. I'm at 313-618-7447. Or feel free to call me, send an email to alan@lowenthallegal.com, alan@lowenthallegal.com. Again, happy to help in any business or legal capacity to anyone in the community.
Thank you. Thanks again for joining us for another GP Chamber Chat. We hope this episode offered you an inside look into one of the incredible Grosse Pointe businesses helping shape our community, and that you reach out to them soon. To learn more about all the businesses inside the chamber, how to join, or other upcoming events and activities within the Grosse Pointe communities, visit www.grossepointechamber.com.